Knowing who you are and being true to yourself have never been more important than in the culture that we live in today. These things, they are seen as the keys of authentic living and true happiness. Natasha Romanoff in the Marvel film Black Widow says, "At some point, we all have to choose between what the world wants you to be and who you are." In other words, authenticity is a moral ideal, and we each feel its pull, don't we? We can often feel a tension between the different voices which try and tell us who we are. So where do we look to find ourselves? Where do we look to find out who we really are? Well, it's common these days to believe that there is only one place to look to find yourself, and that is inward. Inward. As one person has said, personal identity is a do-it-yourself project. And so what then happens is often that we will reject any forms of external authority or opinions from others. We ignore all the external voices, including God's, but maybe it's society or history or our family. All these things that try and tell us who we are. And social scientists, they refer to this strategy of identity formation as expressive individualism, because we push out all these voices and we listen to our inner heart. You know, just be yourself, follow your heart, you do you. I'm sure you've heard these sorts of advice all the time. And this is all wrapped up in something called expressive individualism. Now, Brian Rosner, he was the principal of Ridley College. He's written an excellent book on this called How to Find Yourself. And he describes expressive individualism like this. He says, it's the view that you are who you feel yourself to be on the inside, and that acting in accordance with this identity, it constitutes living authentically. We all want to live authentically, don't we? But of course, in order to live authentically, you have to know who you are, don't you? You have to know who you are. And the sad irony of our culture is that knowing who you are has also never been more difficult than it is today. The common approach to authentic living is actually quite fragile, because finding yourself is such an elusive quest. I don't know if you've ever tried to find yourself. It's an elusive quest. You know, our culture, it emphasizes finding identity, but it struggles to provide any meaningful ones, leading many of us to feel unsatisfied or worse. Because when our only perspective on who we are is ourselves, We get trapped in this fragile spiral of second-guessing ourselves, don't we? Like, is who I think I am, is that really me? Am I being true to myself? I mean, there was even an episode of Bluey that I watched where Bluey himself was, you know, was given the advice, just be yourself, and then Bluey's like, am I just being yourself? Because it's like, how do you know? Who even am I if I'm the only reference on who I am? One of our society's modern-day prophets, Taylor Swift, once gave some inspiring words on this topic. She says, "I know it can feel I can be really overwhelming figuring out who to be. I have some good news. It's totally up to you. I also have some terrifying news. It's totally up to you." Our self-made identities, they are not just fragile, but they lead us to fear. They lead us to fear. See, the prospect that authentic living is totally up to you, I mean, that sounds exciting and freeing, doesn't it? But it's actually scary. It's terrifying. It's not freeing, it's enslaving. And sadly, we see this reality play out in the lives of those around us, in society as a whole, and maybe even for your life as well. Fear, anxiety, depression, these things are all on the rise. You know, as it's interesting, isn't it? As interest in identity and finding ourselves has exploded, the mental health of our young people in particular has collapsed. You know, I remember back in high school, I got an award once for being the most outstanding student in my year level. And getting that made me feel so good, so good. But before long, I realised I only realised this looking back on it, of course, but I placed my identity in academic achievement. You know, I was craving results and affirmation in order to feel like I had worth. And then, as often happens in these cases, I inevitably then didn't get the award that I was so sure that I was going to get the next time round, or I didn't get that result that I really wanted, I didn't get that achievement, I didn't get the affirmation that I was hoping that someone would give me. And I was shattered, shattered. My self-centered identity was fragile and it left me empty and afraid. Well, if you are feeling empty and afraid, there is hope. Thankfully, there is an alternate, a better path to authentic living. And it is one that is followed by millions of people for thousands of years. And it's the one promoted by the Bible. And so whether you are a Christian or not, I invite you to consider this different, this better way to be yourself. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, he writes to some Christians living in Rome. And his letter to them essentially says that going our own way in life and turning to our own desires and our own perspective on who we are, it's going to leave us feeling terrified about who we really are, and it's going to leave us helplessly, hopelessly, fatally stuck. Our only hope in life is if God does something to rescue us from ourselves. And the wonderful news of the Bible is God does. God does something to rescue us from ourselves. You see, the big story of the Bible is that in his love, God came into the world as a person in order to rescue us. While we were off trying to find ourselves, in Jesus, God came and found us. 1 John 3, you've got it at the bottom here. It says, Jesus appeared that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Jesus lived the authentic life that we could never live. And in his love, he gave up his life to take away all of our mess, all of our fear, all of our evil, all of our selfish tendency to look inward and not to him. And in its place, Jesus gives us his authentic life as God comes to live with us by his Spirit. Paul writes in Romans 8, it's at the top here, "The Spirit that you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again." See, what God has done in this story of rescue, what he has done is it will not lead to fear. It will not enslave us as the ways of this world do. God sets us free. And in love, he gives us a new identity, a new perspective on who we are. And the wonderful news that I want to affirm today is that Christianity provides real hope for authentic living. God is all for authentic living. Because being true to ourselves is actually right at the heart of the Bible's call to moral transformation. Brian Rosner, in his book, he says, should you be true to yourself? The Bible says, be true to your new self. Should you do you? You should do the new you. Okay, so then who are we in God's eyes? Like, who does God say that we are? Well, the wonderful news of Christianity is that in his love, God invites us into his own family. He adopts us into his very own family. What is our new self? Who are we? In God's eyes, we are his beloved children. 1 John 3 verse 1 declares, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." That is our authentic life. We are children of God. God tells me that he is my Father and I am his beloved child. I am a child of God. And if you trust in Jesus, you are a child of God. According to Courtney Doctor, who's also written some things about personal identity, she says, when we think of God, the first thing that needs to come into our minds is Father. And when we think of ourselves, the first thing we need to think is beloved child. This foundation is the bedrock of our identity. Being an adopted child of God is the highest affirmation that the gospel offers to you and I. Like, it's beyond just mere forgiveness for our wrongdoing. It's not just there's a relationship that's been restored with God, our Creator. No, he brings us lovingly into his very own life. And the way he does that is he adopts us. In the ancient world, if you wanted to adopt someone into your family, you would simply go to a public place and you'd make a public declaration. You know, this man is my son. And it was so. And the Bible here in Romans 8, as well as elsewhere, it says that God gave us the Holy Spirit, and this brings about our adoption. The Spirit himself speaks truth into our very being, giving us this new identity as God's children. It's such a lovely picture, isn't it? Because through the Holy Spirit, God vouches for us that we are indeed part of his family. You know, the Holy Spirit is like a living birth certificate on our hearts where God cries out, like, "See that man? He is my son." Like, see that woman? She is my beloved daughter. And just as his Spirit is God crying out to us that we are his child, by this same Spirit, God enables us to cry out, "Abba, Father," to him. In other words, to truly, deeply know and feel the reality that we have a heavenly Father. Abba is the Aramaic word for Father. Russell Moore, in his book, Adopted for Life, he shares the life-changing experience that he and his wife had when visiting an orphanage to adopt their sons. He says, "The horror wasn't the squalor and the stench. The horror was the quiet of it all. These children did not cry, because eventually infants learn to stop crying if no one ever responds to their calls for food, for comfort, for love. No one ever responded to these children, so they stopped." The silence continued as we entered the boy's room. Little Sergi smiled at us. Little Maxim stood straight at attention, but neither boy made a sound. There were no cries, no squeals, no groans. Every day we left at the appointed time in the same way as we had entered, in silence. On the last day of the trip, we had to tell the boys goodbye, as by law we had to return to our own country before returning to pick them up for good. After hugging and kissing them, we walked out into the quiet hallway. And that's when we heard the scream. Little Maxim fell back in his crib and yet let out a guttural yell. It seemed like he knew maybe for the first time that he would be heard. On some primal level, he knew that he had a father and a mother now. I will never forget how the hairs on my arms stood up as I heard the yell. And I was struck, maybe for the first time, by the force of the Abba Cry passage in the New Testament. And I was surprised by how little I had gotten it until now. Little Maxim's scream changed everything. It was the moment in his recognizing that he would be heard, that he went from being an orphan to being a son. Romans 8 says, "The spirit that you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again." The spirit you received rather has brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I think part of the reason why this is so powerful to me is this is my story of finding identity. Not through this adoption story, but it was through recognizing that my identity was first and foremost as a child of God, and that enabled me to break free from this trap I had made for myself in finding my worth in the affirmation and the achievements I could receive. This was the truth that set me free, and I wonder if that is for you as well. I want to close by briefly offering three comforts that come to us as we live our authentic lives as beloved children of God. Well, first, we are known and loved. God takes us into his family, establishing us as his children. Of course, our earthly fathers can and do disappoint, but our heavenly Father is the perfect Father. He will never abuse, he will never abandon, he will never let us down. He knows us completely and loves us perfectly. Well, second, we have stability and assurance. Look, some of us, we have grown up experiencing the strain of an unsteady parent-child relationship. But unlike our unsteady earthly relationships in God's family, our position is permanently assured. We don't lose our status as God's child if we have a bad week. And I don't know about you, but that is great news for me, because there are plenty of weeks where I have not had a great week. And finally, we are given purpose and a future. Because our identity as God's children, it also becomes our purpose in life. We now live to please our Heavenly Father, and we live to become more and more like him, bearing the family resemblance. Like, that's what we do at church. We seek to become more and more like Jesus. And we do this not to earn his love, but because he already loves us. And the wonderful blessing and comfort of churches like St. Alfred's and many others across the world is that God does not want us to go about this authentic life by ourselves. It's not about just me and who I think I am. God brings us into a big, diverse family of children, which he calls the church. As a spiritual family, we live out our new lives with one another and we grow. God offers this immense privilege of adoption to anyone who puts their trust in Jesus. At the start of John's gospel, John's account of the life of Jesus, he promises to all who receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. This is the authentic life which God desires for us all. And so if you are a Christian today, I would love for you to embrace the blessings, the comforts of being God's beloved child, finding strength in his stability and joy in his purpose. And if you are not a Christian, well, God's invitation to his family is here for you today, to anyone who believed. He gave this right to become a child of God. And so I'm going to pray for us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the immense privilege of calling you Father. We thank you for what your Son Jesus did for us, breaking down the barrier between us and you. We thank you for his promise that all who believe in him become your children. We thank you that the Spirit that you give breaks us free from fear and enables our hearts to cry out, Abba, Father, to you. Please help us embrace the authentic life which you offer for us. And may we always remember the depths of your great love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.